Don't look downwards and therefore pat yourself on the back and say how wonderful you are because like I'm better than this guy. Look upwards. The Mishnah says a person should rather be a zon of aroyus than to be a roish l'shulim. It's better to be a tail to a lion than to be a head for a fox. Right? We tend to look downwards when we need a pick me up, and looking upwards can tend to be a downer, right? Pun intended. So, well, comparing ourselves to somebody else, so Shiva Prime one time told us a line, and I mentioned to you that the line between Kina Surf and Tarbuk Chokhma and Rekha Matamas Kina is a hair's breadth wide. So I look at the guy above me, Sumela Kina Surf and Tarbuk Chokhma, I want to be like him also, it motivates me, etc. Moving from there to Rekha Matamas Kina, which is it destroys the person because of his jealousy, is. It's Kahuta Saro, he said. The Mela, the Rosh Chaim Zonnefeld sent over from his Rebbe in Europe, before he came there to Israel, he had a Rebbe. It was the Maram Ash, is his name. And he said he would not allow his Talmidim to use the Midah of Kiddush Tarbuk Tarbuk Chochma because the chance of it flowing over into Rekha Matamas Kina was too dangerous. So, for a person to be able to look the Gadol Mimcha in a healthy way, he has to have a tremendous self-esteem. And if a person doesn't have tremendous self-esteem, this is not an advisable approach in Avodah. It just will end up wearing the person down and withering him. But that being said, there are other ways of doing it, which are not necessarily comparing yourself to somebody else. So there's two ways to look at somebody else. There's one way to look at somebody else and say, you know, if he does it, I want to do it too. So the root of the mahalach is the mahalach of kina. We say kina sarf from tarbuk chokhma. It's a healthy thing. Kina sarf from tarbuk chokhma. It doesn't have to be that. It's the root of the root of it is kina. What it could be is it expands your horizons. So there's a concept called shimush tamid chachamim. Part of the purpose of shimush tamid chachamim is pasha to expose you to a reality beyond your reality. The supporter says that in the beginning of the parsha of the Nazir, so the pasuk says that he brings himself to do this. So Chazal Darshan is one of the places where a person had to do it to himself. So Shabbat says why? Because there's nobody above him to teach him such a musig. So he has to come into it from his own. Because normally the Mahalach of Limud, the Telta Rav says in the Shmuz, is that you look at somebody who's beyond you. You see, you get the lessons from him of what's the next stage to do. And then you do it. So the root of it is not in the kuda of kina, it's pashut. I'm going to him, or I'm looking at him, to realize that there's more to life. Shimshon Chomim is severely lacking in our generation. Simply because. Okay, so I remember one time a guy came in from New York to speak to a gifter. So he arrived in Cleveland, you know. So I met him. He said, "Shalom aleichem." You know, what are you here for? He's here to speak to a gifter. He says, "Okay, great." He says, "What do I do?" He says, "You knock on the door." says, and then what? He answers the door. And then what? He tells you whether he's available or not. You know, you don't have to ask the shamish to tell, you know, the guy by the door who protects the guy by the door who tells the guy to get in. He says, no, you're knocking on the door. Like you know, you're knocking on the shiva's door. And you say, yeah. He'd walk in and he'd talk to you. I was like, we were totally spoiled. We didn't realize how spoiled we were until, like, you know, after they hear, like, yeah, Taco New York. There's so many people competing for the access. I was anything I wanted to. I could speak to the shiva, you know, if I wanted to. I probably should have taken them a bit more. They were in Base Medrash. They were, you could walk them home. You know, there were so many different opportunities that you had to just interface with them on a regular basis. They said shir after shir, you walked them home. You know, or you, and the result is that eventually over a period of time you saw a person who gets it in a higher level than you do. Somebody one time asked, like, when I'm going to leave Tells. I was in Tells for 23 years before I came here. So somewhere along the way, like, my mother kept asking that question, like, on a regular basis, like, when are you going to get a job? But that, you know, but it was hard to explain to her where I was coming from. But if somebody, Balabas asked me, he says, you know, I'll tell you what. He says, let's say a certain thing happens in the Welt, and somebody will ask, like, you know, what's my take on it? Like, what I think the message is, and what it is, etc. And I'll say what I think. They'll go to hear a shmooze from one of the yeshivas, and they'll give a totally different take. Like, we'll touch it, like, I didn't think of. As long as that's still happening, I don't want to leave yet. It means I got a lot to learn. Like, there's a whole other way of thinking about it, which I missed. When I get to the point where I'm copying, somebody one time had a discussion, he wanted to go to a shiva, he wanted to know, there was a young man who was talking to Bell Boss. He asked for a gift about something, and Bell Boss was, like, worried because he was afraid of the gift he was going to tell him something he didn't want to hear. So they decided that, you know, that I should be the metavet and decide. So they came to me, what do I think the shiva is going to say? So I said, if I know the shiva is going to say, I'd be the Rosh Hashiva, and I'm not the Rosh Hashiva, so I don't know what the shiva is going to say. Like, you have to understand, if I can predict the Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh Hashiva is big as me. The Rosh Hashiva is not as big as me. He's bigger than me. I can't predict him. You don't want your Rosh Hashiva to be predictable. You should go and say, well, A or B, he'll say C. You want him to be able to see more than you, which he did. So, but each time you did that, it helped you expand your horizons a little more. You realize that there's a lot more to see than in the world. And the Rosh Hashiva used to have his comment about, you know, says, like, he say, I saw great people, and Nebuchadnezzar, you're stuck looking at me. Like, you know, we used to laugh at it. Of course, I get the same feeling nowadays. Somebody says, well, Rabbi Rangel said, like, you know, come on. Who are you kidding? I saw big people, you know, you're stuck with me, you know. And the time, like, right, you know, like, you know, like, and I can't laugh at them because, like, I know I did the same thing to my rebellion, but the mice, I know what I'm talking about. But nobody believes me. You know, there's a whole world that these people came from and that they represented. I mean, especially these were European Rosh Hashivas. I mean, they mamash came from a different world. And they had a whole world of life which you can't even imagine what it was like. You know, as I said once, there was a woman came, a survivor from Tells, came to Cleveland and visited the Rebbetzins there, who were all Tells. They were all Tells. They were grew up in Tells, the Rebbetzins. And I don't know. There's only, my wife was there. She must have come for davening. My wife was there for davening, and the conversation was saying, it was in Yiddish, you know, which my wife understands Yiddish. And this woman was, like, throwing chazals and psukim, like, left and right into the conversation. So my wife afterwards asked one of the Rebbetzins, like, wow, this woman, like, you know, must have been a real melumedes. She says, no, she was a regular amaratzis. She says, that's how they spoke in Tells. Like, that was how people, the phrases of chazal were part of the language. They saw the world through the prism of chazal. That was, like, the standard way to look at life. So you came from a world where that was automatic. Rebbe told us a line. She says, you know, nowadays they're much firmer than they used to be. But they had much more yerushimayim in the old days. You know, like, it was a different. She says, during Elul, you felt the atmosphere of Elul in the whole city. Imagine walking in a city where everybody felt the atmosphere available. It says most of all about them would close their stores after Chatzaris and sit in base manager to learn the second Seder. And even the people who could make it, they would come from Musar Seder, because who would miss Musar Seder during Yellow? Like, we don't know what Musar Seder is, period. Right? Forget about, you know, learning Musar, but the average Bala boss was learning Musar during Elul, the whole Elul, you know. Like, the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Like, I don't see people crying their hearts out on Yom Kippur nowadays. I don't see it. Like, there's a whole bigger world out there. So the purpose of looking at the Gadol Mincha is not so much that you should be jealous and say, well, I wish I could do it too, and you're measuring yourself against him. It's to expand your horizons. That, you know, I saw Rashi Revisek. I've been telling you some of my stories about Rashi Revisek, you know, and his Hasmada. I saw what Hasmada looks like. Of course, he would tell you that he's on a mouse, but, you know, that was, you know, his. But when he calls me in for, and he wants to give me a belt, so I'd say, Rashi, I already have a belt. This conversation is in Yiddish, but I already have a belt. He says, no, you need a second one. I said, why need a second one? He says, because if you have two belts, you can leave the belt in the belt loops. You only have one. When you change your pants, you have to take out the belt from the first pants and put on the second pants. You have two belts. You can leave it in the belt loops. When you change pants, you save yourself the time of learning. You have more time to learn because you don't have to waste the time for the time it takes the belt out of the pant loops A and put it in the belt loops B. You have more time for learning. That was his musagim of learning. That's smarter. To the point where he assumed that I was holding there, to the point also that obviously Bachar and Yeshiva would be doing that. Right? Like, just open your horizons. I'm not there. I mean, I have no shaykhs to being there, but, like, I understood what he pictured, what it's supposed to look like. I told you my story with the Shibur of Chaim. One time I came back for Cleveland for a visit, and I went to hear a shir, because it was Gishmak to sit in shir again. And after shir, the Shibur walks out. So I walked the Shibur out, and I said to him, he says to me, he says, last time I said the shir, I also added this other connection I didn't add this time. The last time I'd been in shir, I was probably still in shir, maybe two times back, I'd heard the shir before. I remember. So I give him this blank look. So he says to me, I didn't say it last time. And he says, after Rashiva, maybe Rashiva did say it. I said, I remember. He says, I didn't say it last time. I remember saying it. Chanishka zogt. So I said again, maybe Rashiva did say it. Maybe I don't remember, but I still remember. He says, I didn't say it last time. And this conversation, like, going around three times, I felt like, hop. In the Rashiva's mind, there was no way that he could have said a shir that I didn't remember, because the Talmud doesn't forget whatever he said. So, if I didn't remember, it means he didn't say it. He remembers saying it, so he's confused. And we're having this conversation going around, like, you know, like, he sees my look, means I don't remember it, means he didn't say it, because there's no way a Talmud would forget what a Rebbe said. But he remembers saying it, so he's confused. So we went around like three times. The final third time, I said, "Rashi Yagenot." He's very happy, and I'm very happy. But I don't remember what he said. I don't know that he said it or not, but, like, you know, he felt better at least. You know, that was it. You know, like, but I was like, ah. But it hit you. And once I went to Rashi to complain, I complained. You know, all the Yugalite were required once a week to go to Mabalabatim. So it was a half an hour drive there. It was 2 hours there. It was Marib, and then came home at 11 o'clock at night. So, you know, you lost the whole night from learning. So Rashi, we went to Rashi to complain. Maybe we should be potter or whatever. She says, I don't understand. You have at least 2 hours to learn still afterwards. He says, what young man doesn't learn until 1 o'clock in the morning, every morning? Like, that was like, that was just like, that was just, that's all he said. And I said to the guys, I was like the spokesman, I said, I think we just lost. Like, he couldn't imagine that that wasn't what were we holding. So, like, there was no conversation. Okay, so we're not holding there, but, you know, that was the message, like, in his mind, what the world looked like. So you got a picture of what the world's supposed to look like. So that's what Rosh is saying.